Wow. Praise the Lord. What was that? What was that they sang? As the candle is consumed by the passion of its flame, so let my life be consumed in basically shedding out the light. Wow. Man, I wanna burn out for Christ. Amen. Doing something for Christ. I wanna give it all to Him. I saw this line that we sang, a volunteer, and it says, He calls you for He loves you with a heart most kind. Hasn't God been just so kind to us? I know. Amen. He's been so kind to me, so merciful to me. Like that verse in Corinthians, it says, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Seeing we have this ministry, right? Talking about ministry, whatever it may be. You know what's keeping your ministry? As we have received mercy, we faint not. He's been so kind to me. He's been so kind. It's been a ride going to Mexico. But it says the next line, it says, He whose heart was broken for mankind. And if missions, if preaching the gospel, if witnessing is just not your thing, or if you have that cop-out mentality, it's not my gift or whatever, just remember, His heart is broken for mankind. Your Savior, your Lord, brokenhearted. How many times have you seen in the Gospels and in Jeremiah and all these books, just the Lord weeping over the lost souls, over the lostness of His people. Just His heart broken. And when someone that you love is heartbroken, that should break your heart as well. Should break my heart more often. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want to thank Stephen and Adi for receiving us. I know my wife already said it, but I want to thank them. You know, brethren, we're messy people. I have three little daughters, and myself included. My wife is clean. She cleans things that are already clean, and I thank God for it because I'm a messy person, and my three daughters are messy. And we trashed our house last year. I'm telling you right now, but they received us again this year. I was like, wow, they're going to get a reward for that. So just, you know, just so you guys know, we are messy people. It's an extra reward for receiving people like us. Okay. Thank you. Big blessing. Always love our 2 a.m. talks, and, it's been good. It's been good. I want to thank the church for the meals. Everything has been delicious. So thank you for your hard work and receiving us. And it's always a blessing being here. Always a blessing. I've been coming to the mission conferences here at San Antonio for 5 years. 5 years. I met my wife here in this church. And this church is a massive part of why I'm on the mission field. Amen. A massive part. A volunteer, like we just sang. I was a volunteer. I was waiting for a call for a little while, and then I heard, wow, it was like revelation to me, you know? Boom! If you're waiting on a call and you're not sure, just volunteer. And I was like, okay. Okay, I'll take it. I'll take it. And the Lord clearly showed me that His hand has been on me, protecting me, and wow, what a blessing. What a blessing. You know, just a fun fact, the Macedonian call that so many Christians are waiting for and trying to receive, maybe, I just need a Macedonian call somehow, it happened to Paul when he already went on the mission field. So it's an interesting thing to think about. He received the Macedonian call, direction as to where to go, when he was already going.
Amen, brother.
So just something to think about. Something to think about.
Amen.
Paul received the Macedonian call after the Holy Spirit said, separate unto me Paul and Barnabas. And by the way, that happened separated unto me Paul and Barnabas, after Barnabas went to Tarsus and said, hey, come and help me. Now, there's no record of any sort of separate unto me Paul in the church of Tarsus. He just saw the need and went. And I don't know exactly what happened there, but I know that the call happened after Paul was moving and going and preaching and testing outdoors, like what was said. He was doing that way before the Macedonian call, way before separate unto me. So, food for thought. Volunteer. The door might be open to you. I want to talk to you about tonight, godly ambition and opportunity. Godly ambition and opportunity. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for your kindness to me, your mercy, Lord. I'm not worthy, Lord, but you are, Lord. You're so worthy, and so just help us, help me tonight to preach the message that you want, Lord, a message that is well-pleasing to you. I pray that you'd bless it to the hearts of your people. I pray that you would encourage your people. Pray that you'd convict your people. I love you, Lord. You're worthy. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, godly ambition and opportunity. Ambition, very interesting word. It's not in the Bible. It's in modern versions and stuff like that, which I thought was interesting. But ambition, what is ambition? And I've seen in some characters in the Bible, ambition. And it's a very interesting thing to me. If you'll turn to Matthew 5:6, Matthew chapter 5. Trying to get a feel for what ambition is, parts of ambition. I'm sure you understand what ambition is in the world. You've seen an ambitious person. Many times when you think of ambitious, you think of an entrepreneur. You think of a businessman. You think of someone who is just hungry for success. Maybe hungry for something, hungry for power. That guy's ambitious. And they just reek of ambition. You could just feel it. They're just full of their plans, full of what they're going to do. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do it this way. They're a little bit judgmental as well. Well, you know, this company is a great company, but, you know, they have these problems and, you know, the statistics, blah, 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 blah. I'm going to do it this way and I'm going to do it better. Ambitious. So ambition in the world, this sort of ambition and hunger for success, hunger for wealth, hunger for power, is not necessarily a good thing for Christians. Because when you read the Bible, it's like completely opposite, right? Blessed are the poor in spirit. It doesn't really scream out ambition in this world. Blessed are you when you suffer and when men revile you. If someone asks you for your coat, and then asks you for when he asks you for one thing and then asks you for your coat, give him your coat also, something like that. I'm butchering that verse. But someone asks you to lend money, just give it to them hoping to receive nothing back. It's not really ambitious, right? I mean, if you're ambitious and you have this vision for your business, you're not just going to be lending money out to people who probably not going to pay you back. No, you're going to make sure that you're going to get your money back, right? So that ambition isn't good for us as Christians. But there is, ambition is like a tool. It's something that you can point in a certain direction. So how about we point our ambitions to the Lord? Matthew 5:6 says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Hunger and thirst. It's like very strong desire, no? It's not just talking about blessed are they who desire, who want righteousness in this world. I'm sure that probably everybody in this room, even if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you probably want righteousness in this world. I want things to be done right. I want justice in this world. But this is talking about people who are hungry and thirsty. You know that feeling. Happens to you every day. When you get thirsty, when you get hungry, How about going a couple of days fasting? Oh, you're going to know what hunger is, right? You're going to be like, oh man, and all you're thinking about, and one little piece of bread on the floor or something can make you, wow, that looks pretty good right there, right? Hunger, hunger. That type of strong, intense desire for righteousness. Wow, for justice, for the good. That's a strong desire right there. And that is something that Jesus said, blessed are they that have this hunger and thirst, not for their own plans in life, not for wealth, not for comfort, as was mentioned this morning, but for righteousness, for good, for the things of God. Blessed are they, because they will be filled. Wow, what a tremendous promise. They will be filled. Proverbs 11:27, I'll just read it. It says, he that diligently seeketh good procureth favor, but he that seeketh mischief, it shall come unto him. Diligently seeketh good, and he will procure favor. He's going to get a return. And that return, it's not money or anything like that. It's favor. Much better. Favor from who? From God. Favor. Wow. You know why you're saved today? You know why some preacher came to you and told you the gospel? The favor of God. Amen. That's what it is. Amen. You didn't get lucky. There wasn't a lottery in heaven. Oh, Matthew's turn today. Let's send the preacher that way. No. God's favor. Amen. And if you want more of it, if you want your ministry to be successful, you need nothing but God's favor. God's favor. And if you want it, that's the formula to get it. There's a formula in the Bible. Diligently seeketh good. It's a strong seeking. It's not just, I'm looking for good. Diligently. It's something that's consistent. Something that is on a journal. It's on a, well, I'm using words from Spanish now, but it's a scheduled thing. It's something that you do all the time. Something that you think about a lot. Diligently seeketh good, procureth favor. How about Genesis 25:31? I'll read it real quick. It's a very small verse. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. Hey, come here, Esau. I know you're tired. I know. It's a rough world out there. How about that birthright? Sell me the birthright. Oh, okay. Yeah, sure. Whatever. What is this birthright to me? Esau says, right? Ah, garbage. Give me a little bowl of soup for the birthright. Wow. What's going on in this verse? What? I'm looking at this verse and I'm thinking, every time I read about Jacob, it rubs me the wrong way. It's like, it makes you feel uncomfortable in many different parts. It's just like, that's not really correct. What? He's lying to his father. He's lying to his brother. Well, not really lying, but he's being sneaky. His name's Jacob. My middle name's Jacob. I really appreciate my middle name. Deceiver. This sort of ambition, right? What is Jacob being ambitious for here? He's not being ambitious for wealth or riches or fame or to be like his brother, nice and strong, a hunter, skillful at, you know, he was a man's man, Esau. No, he's like, I want that birthright right there. He's ambitious for spiritual things. He's diligently seeking that which can never be taken away from him. Like what Jesus said to Mary. That part can never be taken away from you. Jacob is, I want that. I want that. And I'm going to get it. You know, that hunger and thirst for the righteousness. That hunger and thirst to be closer to God and closer to God. There's a lot of Christians that want to be close to God. There's a lot of Christians that want righteousness. There's a lot of Christians that are seeking good. But how much, how intense is your passion for righteousness? How intense is your passion to serve God? Can I tell you that every Christian needs to have this sort of burning desire to serve God. You know, when Jesus says, serve me, he doesn't just say, I want you to serve me. No, he says, lose your life for my sake. Take up your cross. That's some strong, those are some strong words. That's giving up everything. That is a strong, intense, passionate, diligent seeking. That's a, I'm gonna get that at all costs type of attitude when it comes to God. I'm sure you can find that somewhere in your life. This ambition, this diligent hunger for something. I'm sure you can find it somewhere. And sadly, it might not be where it should be.
Yeah. Amen.
It's somewhere else.
Amen.
It's being wasted on something else.
Amen.
Where is your ambition, brethren? Where's your ambition? Spiritual success at all costs. Jacob was willing to gain something spiritual at the expense of others, at the expense of his own brother, at the expense of maybe his reputation. He lied to his dad. He disguised himself as his brother to steal the blessing of God. That's very sneaky. Now, I'm not here condoning lying and stuff like that, but I'm just trying to put a light on this characteristic that is so peculiar and so strange about Jacob. This success at all costs. This, I'm gonna get closer to God. It doesn't matter who's in my way. It doesn't matter if Esau, my own brother's in my way, or if some stupid decree that because I'm the younger brother, I don't get the blessing. I don't care. I'm gonna get the blessing of God. Something like Tamar. You remember Tamar, Judah's
daughter-in-law?
She's like, I'm getting in to that genealogy. I'm getting in the lineage. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it somehow. Wow. Someone like Rahab. Oh, the authorities come by. Did you see these two men? Nope, didn't see them. I'm going to save my family. I'm going to get in the blessing of God. I'm getting out of this place. She made it into the lineage of Jesus Christ. She said, let's get out of here. At the cost of many things. Right? Doesn't ambition cost you? Ambition is going to cost you. Some light desire to have something is probably not going to cost you. Oh, if it comes my way, I'll take it. Oh, if it costs, if it's within my budget, I'll buy it. No, ambition is, how much money do I have? How much money can we get? How much money can we borrow to get this thing? Huh? Who's in my way? I'm gonna get it. Do you have that attitude for God? Do you have that attitude for, you have this attitude that I wanna put a smile on God's face regardless of what it costs me? I want that. I want it more. I want some flame in my heart that's so fervent that nothing gets in my way of serving Him.
Amen.
There's going to be lots of obstacles and whatnot, but set your ambition towards the things of God. Jacob wanted the best. And sometimes you have to be spiritually selfish to put God first. Spiritually selfish. Selfish. It's not really a Christian word, right? It's not really something that, you know, we should be telling each other, you need to be selfish. No, it's usually not the right thing to say behind the pulpit or just in the context of the Bible. Be selfish. But ambition's gonna take a little bit of selfishness. A little bit of selfishness. That person in my life is not getting me closer to God. So I'm just gonna cut him off. Yeah. That friend. That coworker. That Netflix. That video game. That whatever it is. I don't care. I'm gonna be selfish. I have a real need to be closer to God. So forget you. I'm cutting you off. I don't even need to give you an explanation. Because I want that. And no one's getting in my way. I want the Lord. I want to get closer to Him. I want to serve Him. I want to bring Him fruit. Get out of my way. Ambitious for the Lord. How about Jacob? Again. This guy, he's an amazing character in the Bible. He's very different. Wrestling with God. Wow. When do you see that in the scriptures? Wrestling. The closest you get is Hezekiah, where God sends a prophet to Hezekiah, says, you get your stuff prepared because it's over. You're dying now. And he goes to the wall and he weeps and prays and asks God fervently, no, give me more time. And then he gives him 15 more years. That's the closest I can think of in the Bible. If you think of more, you tell me. But Jacob, wrestling with God. No. Give me. He's like, what a crazy man. He's not wrestling with Gabriel or Michael the Archangel. Angels who could kill literally whole armies. I mean, just. He's wrestling with God. And it doesn't make any sense to me. But that guy, he wanted to be blessed.
Right.
Now that's ambition right there. How many of you are willing to fight God for the blessing? You know, a lot of Christians are waiting around for God to just bless them.
Yeah.
Oh, bless me. You throw up a prayer, a quick prayer. Bless me, Lord. And then you just go on your day. I don't know. I wonder if the blessing of God is being withheld because God's like, you don't want it. You don't want it.
Amen.
You want a promotion in your job more than you want my blessing. Oh, because you show up every day on time. You show up early. But church, that's all right. I'll show up late. Doesn't really matter. God is seeing these things and he says, you don't want my blessing. You want my blessing? It's going to cost you. Jacob knew that. And he was limping for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
As evidence. I bet you if you ask Jacob, or when we go up there, you get to talk to him, you ask him, was it worth it? Your little limp for the rest of your life? Wow, it's a big price. What do you think he would say? Was it worth it, Jacob? Oh, I think I know what he would say, brethren. Oh yeah, what? Is that even a question? No! It was way worth it! It was so worth it, I would do it again. If I had three legs, I would do it to all three legs. I don't care. Because it's worth it. The blessing of God is worth it.
Amen.
Don't you want the blessing of God? In your life, in your ministry? I want the blessing of God, brethren. I don't care what it costs me.
Yes.
Amen.
Ambition for the Lord. Ambition, not for comfort for your family, not for growing your 401k, not for promotion at your job, not for all these things. Just let it burn. Let your, it's like that song at Calvary. My ambitious plans and wishes at my feet in ashes lay. Right?
Yeah.
Just let it burn.
Yeah.
It's trash. Set your affection on things above,
amen,
not on things on the earth.
Right.
Ambition. Find it and direct it towards righteousness, towards the Lord. The second thing that I wanted to mention is opportunity. Let me just finish this one point of ambition with one verse. If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I jump off my notes and then I lose where I am in my notes. 1 Corinthians 9:24. Before I get into opportunities, 1 Corinthians 9:24 says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain.
Amen.
God's telling you, Paul is telling you in this passage, you need to be running the Christian walk as if there's only one prize. He says, that's what happens in a race. There's only one that wins. And he's saying, so run. That's how you should run. That's how you should treat it. Not as some jog through the forest. No. As a sprint or some sort of zealous, passionate run, because I need to win that. I need that. Nothing else. Just that. You won't be let down. If you put your ambition, if you put all your plans and all your wishes and all your desire and passion and hard work and sweat, if you put it all in the Lord Jesus Christ, He promises over and over and over. Cross dispensations, doesn't matter how you chop up the Bible. It's throughout the whole Bible. It's a constant principle. If you give your life to Christ, you will not be disappointed.
Amen.
He will not let you down. Bible says, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. You will not be ashamed. I guarantee it. I'm a young guy. I don't have that much experience, but I'm guaranteeing it. Because the Bible says it.
Amen.
The Bible is a lot wiser than any sort of 70, 80, 90 years of experience and knowledge that we can attain in this short time. The Bible is a lot older than us, a lot wiser. I trust it.
That's right, man.
If you throw your life at Christ, you will not be ashamed. Throw your life at Christ.
Amen.
Waste it all.
Amen.
And let your desires of this world just ashes at your feet.
Amen.
Another thing is hungering after God. It should be our attitude. Our ambition should be set towards Him. Not just because it's going to benefit you, which it will, but because He's worthy.
Amen.
He's so worthy. You know, and how long are we going to live? We don't know. But we do know we're not going to live to be 200 years old, right? It's just not going to happen. So whatever time that God decides to end your life is whatever, but I know that in 300 years from now, you know what's going to be important? Not much that we spend a lot of time on here. You know what's going to be important? Him.
Yeah.
Oh, everything's going to be surrounded around Him. Every tribe and tongue, all the elders casting all their rewards at His feet. Just all of that surrounded around Him. Praising Him. Cherubims and seraphims, day and night. No rest, no sleep. No far off thought, just completely dedicated to Him.
Amen.
And when you get there, you're going to realize, we're going to realize that. Wow, I should have gave more.
Yeah.
Everything.
Amen.
He's worthy for you to give and throw your life at. He's worthy for you to just make Him your life's ambition.
Amen.
He's worthy. Let's talk about opportunities. Opportunities that we have. I want to talk to you about missed opportunities. First Kings. Let's go to First Kings chapter 11. First Kings chapter 11, verse 35. Opportunities. First Kings chapter 11, verse 35. One of the many opportunities that God gave a man in the Bible. This is particularly talking about Jeroboam. You guys remember Jeroboam? He's famous in the Bible. Well, he's more infamous in the Bible. It says in verse 35, but I will take the kingdom out of his son's hand. Talking about King Solomon. He's going to take the kingdom out of Solomon's son's hand. And I will give it to thee, even 10 tribes. Skip down to verse 35. And I will take thee, and thou shalt reign according to all that thy soul desireth, and shall be king over Israel. Wow, that's a lot of liberty right there. God says, you do whatever you want, whatever your soul desireth. You're going to reign over 10 of my tribes. I'm giving them to you. Wow. And then verse 38 says, and it shall be, if thou wilt hearken unto all that I command thee, and wilt walk in my ways, and do that is right in my sight, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as David my servant did, that I will be with thee, and build thee a sure house as I built for David, and will give Israel unto thee. Wow. That is an amazing opportunity that Jeroboam just received. I don't think that he could even comprehend fully the magnitude of the opportunity that's at his feet right now. He says, I'm going to give you some liberty to be a king. Just follow my statutes and my commands as David did with all your heart. And you know what I'm going to do for you? I'm not just giving you a kingdom. Have you ever been offered a kingdom? It's a lot. 10 tribes of a kingdom. Not some puny, useless kingdom. This is the greatest kingdom in that time. The strongest. The wealthiest almost. It's an incredible kingdom. And it's a kingdom of God. This is a kingdom that God set up. This was part of his plans. And he's going to give it to this guy, Jeroboam. Wow, 10 tribes. Here you go. And then he says, if you follow me and you serve me and you follow my commandments, I'm going to make you a sure house as I did to David. You realize the sure house, that it's the sure mercies of David. David had this covenant with God, special covenant that no one else had. And God, the promise was that there will not be left, he's going to bless his lineage, and there will always be his son on the throne. And then all the way down to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came and he's king, and he's going to sit on the throne of David. It's this whole amazing covenant, and wow, it's an amazing plan. I mean, talk about way better than, you know, retirement plan or some life insurance policy or some 401k. I mean, this is an eternal deal with God that David had. And he's saying, Jeroboam, I'm going to do that for you. I'm going to bless your whole lineage. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to give you a kingdom and take care of you. You know what happened? He wasted it.
Yeah.
Jeroboam, I don't know how much time went before he built those two calves, and he didn't want to lose people to go to Jerusalem to worship the true temple. So he built these two calves and made up a religion. Wow. How quickly did he turn out of the way? It's like he wasn't even paying attention when the preacher told him that. You have an opportunity here.
Yeah.
You have an opportunity, and it's an amazing opportunity. Okay, thank you. You said kingdom? Okay, thanks. Yes, I'll take the kingdom. Wait. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I got it. I'll take care of it. Yeah, praise the Lord. Wow. Threw it in the trash. 1 Kings 14, Jeroboam is condemned and his whole lineage. Wow, you know there's consequences for missed opportunities. Some opportunities you don't get back, and they eat away at you, and there's consequences, and you start paying for them for the rest of your life because you missed that golden opportunity, the regret inside of you. Jeroboam missed an opportunity. The Bible says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. It's an opportunity for the lost world to get this amazing salvation, this eternal life, free. It's a gift of God. Just believe, and I'll give you the gospel. I'll give you salvation. But it's a limited time offer. It's a limited time offer. Acts 13:46 says, then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Wow, what a sad verse. Wow. Paul and Barnabas working hard, trying to basically give these people the gospel on a silver platter. Here it is. I got the answers. Here it is, the Messiah. And they just put it from them, like what it says. Seeing ye put it from you. It's all right. We'll get more opportunities. Who knows? I don't know what's going on in their minds, but I know what happened. They missed the opportunity of a lifetime. They judged themselves unworthy of eternal life. Eternal life. Missed opportunities. Don't miss out on opportunities, brethren. They're fishing by like in the river, just zipping by you. And some of us are sleeping during the harvest. Sleeping during the harvest. The work will get done with or without you. These opportunities that come by and they present themselves in front of you sometimes on a silver platter, and we reject them sometimes, or we just despise it. We just put it from us. These opportunities that come to us, it's not like God is depending on you to fulfill this thing, to do this ministry, to do this great thing that He has for you. No, He'll find someone else. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He can just grab someone else if you want to just say, it's okay. You're not hurting the plan of God, the whole eternal purpose of God. No. But isn't it amazing how He says, He comes to people and He says, follow me. And some of them say no. And the crazy thing is Jesus knew they would say no, but He asked them anyway. Wow. He's giving you opportunities, some of you. And some of you are going to say no. Some of you are going to throw it in the trash. And someone else is going to pick it up. And they're going to do it. And they're going to be blessed tremendously. I think of that missionary woman. I was trying to look it up. It was hard. I don't know. But she basically, the gist of it was, I went to China, and she was an incredible missionary, apparently, and fruitful. And she said, I'm sure God called some man before me. You know, I'm sure He did, but He missed the opportunity. He didn't go, and here I am. Some of us are going to miss some pretty big, incredible opportunities because of stupid things, and someone else is going to pick it up. Yeah. You remember that parable in Luke where it says, then said He unto him, a certain man made a great supper, and bade many. He's calling them. And sent his servant out of supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Wow, missed opportunities. How about Esther? Esther, when she had that opportunity to approach the king and plead for her people. And God says to her, you can do this and save your people. And if you don't, deliverance is going to come, but from another place. And your whole family is going to die. Wow. She took that opportunity. Yeah. She was like, oh yeah, I'm going to take it. But how amazing. God gives us opportunities and He's not depending on us. It's a genuine offer out of the goodness and kindness of His heart. Here, you can have this. If you don't want it, that's fine. I'm going to give it to someone else. Don't miss your opportunities. Take them and realize that you're not indispensable. This is a great opportunity. This is a pleasure to take God up on His offers.
Amen.
You won't be disappointed. The last point is, if you go to Hebrews 11:15, the last point is look for opportunities. Don't miss out on them. You're not indispensable. The opportunity is going to continue, but with someone else. And the last one is look for opportunities. Look for opportunities. You know, some of us are sitting around waiting for the call of God, or sitting around and waiting for God to literally kick down your front door and grab you by the hair throw you in a whale, the whale brings you wherever, tortures you a little bit, and then you're going to do what God wants you to do. We're all expecting these amazing things to happen. I don't know. I don't know. Why don't you just look for opportunities? Hebrews 11:15 says, "And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned." Now, he's saying, if the Jews, they kept one eye on the promised land and one eye on Egypt, you know, well, not all the Jews. He's talking about the faithful men. If they were divided in heart, had their mindfulness towards, a little bit towards God and a little bit towards their past, the you know, the flesh, sin, and all that stuff, then it says they might have had opportunity to return. Why? Because they're paying attention to the country they came out of.
Right.
You know, God says, when you follow me, don't look back.
Right.
God says, when you put your hands on the plow, you're not worthy of me if you look back. And so he's saying these to these people, if they were looking at the country they came out of, they might have seen an opportunity to return back if they were looking. But because they weren't looking back, there were no opportunities for them to go back because they weren't looking for them. You know, it's the same the other way around. If you're looking for opportunities to serve God, well, if you're mindful of His work, then you might have opportunity to serve Him, right? If you're mindful of the things of God, opportunities are going to present themselves. Just like if you're mindful of the disgusting, sinful, horrible life that you did live before you were saved, if you're mindful of that, if you think about it, like the Jews thinking about the garlics and leeks, all the garlics and leeks, but they were slaves, they were in bondage. Oh, but the garlics and leeks. If you're thinking that way, the devil's going to present some opportunities to you to go back. If you're not mindful of that and you're just set like Jesus as a flint towards Him and towards His work, then opportunities are going to come. Good, eternal, amazing, incredible opportunities are going to present themselves to you. So yes, be mindful of righteousness. Be mindful of the way of righteousness and look for those opportunities. They're going to come by. I hear and see on the projector all these amazing stories. And they're not just stories. I mean, they're real things that happen to this church, to missionaries here. You know what, brethren? I missed out on the Polish Bible Project. I, personally. I mean, just seeing this presentation. What touched my heart the most out of the whole thing, and the whole thing touched my heart, was every police officer and military personnel got one of these Bibles translated from two brothers that we know.
Amen.
From this church. I mean, it's like, wow, it's like I'm standing, I know they wouldn't like me saying this, but it's like there's a celebrity in my midst. Like, oh my goodness, a Christian celebrity. Let me get his autograph. Like, but... And I know they would hate me for saying that, but I'm just saying, like, I missed out on that. I didn't invest in that. I'm going to confess. It wasn't because I looked at it and I said, that's a stupid idea. No, I just missed out on the opportunity. I'm not going to get rewarded for that opportunity. I missed it. I think of the brothers going down to Mexico 30 years ago, before I was even born. Going down there and doing these amazing things and trials and wow, an explosion in León. And every time I see it, every time I hear it, I love hearing about it. I'm like, if I was there, I would have been there. I would have been right next to them. I would have been preaching right next to them in León. If I was there, oh, and then I get that, you know, probably not good thought in my head. Oh, I wish I was in that time. But, you know, like as if I don't have opportunities right here in front of me. Like, I think of these things, but how many brothers who were in that time missed the opportunity of going to Leon? How many of them missed the opportunity of praying for them? How many of them missed the opportunity of investing in them? You think about that? There were brethren. For sure. You know, a portion of the church, as the story goes, if I'm saying it correct, when the 11 missionaries surrendered, a portion of the church left because they said, we're not supporting them. Well, that's a lost opportunity for them.
Yeah, right.
Oh, big mistake on their part. They missed out big time. They didn't miss out on winning one soul. They missed out on churches, 9, 25, 30 churches in Mexico. Oh my goodness. What a mistake. And you know, some of those opportunities are floating right by us right now.
Amen.
They look like almost nothing right now. And you just gotta grab it by faith.
Amen.
You just gotta say, oh, that, I think that's an opportunity right there. How many people missed the Mexico revival? How many people missed the Polish Bible Project? How many people missed the opportunity of surrendering to be a missionary? God's moving in their heart. They're not sure if they're called. They're not sure about a lot of things, but they're feeling a little uncomfortable in the mission conference, and then it ends and they're like, okay, I made it. How many people? You know, when I was being sent out as a missionary, we had a meeting, a deacon's meeting, and evaluating the situation. Are we going to send this guy who used to have long hair as a teenager and who was, you know, kind of a knucklehead, you know? And I'll spare you the details, but one of the deacons next to me, he said, brother, and they said, he doesn't speak a lot, so it's rare when he speaks, but he stood up and he spoke and he said, brother, if you feel like this is God, if you feel like you're being called or that God is moving in your heart to go to Mexico, you do it. He said, because many times I've felt the struggle of going to Japan as a missionary and I just wasn't sure. And he says, I feel like I've made a grave mistake many years later. I feel like maybe he was calling me, but I'm not sure. And I struggle with that to this day. Wow. How many of us are missing that opportunity that's right in front of us? What about Thomas missing Jesus? As he went off to, who knows, the bathroom, like people say. Jesus shows up after they crucified him on a cross. Oh my goodness. And he just shows up and Thomas isn't there. And he comes back and he doesn't want to believe it. He's like, no. That didn't happen. It's such an incredible thing that I missed that I can't believe that I missed it. How about the people that missed the day of Pentecost when that happened? Thousands of souls got saved. How many of those disciples that in John chapter 6, when they left Jesus, said, this is too hard for us. Missed the day of Pentecost. They're walking with Jesus and he's doing miracles, but there's a lot of persecution and people are coming and going. It's kind of a risky thing to be getting involved in following Jesus. He's kind of homeless, you know. It says he has nowhere to lay his head. It's risky business and I don't really see the fruit that I want to see. So I don't know if this is really God. I'm out of here. Wow. And then Pentecost happens, man. Boom! Thousands of people get saved. The great start of the church, or, you know, I know this is debatable, but whatever. Thousands of people get saved. And how many disciples are in their home eating soup? Missed the opportunity of Pentecost. Oh man. Don't miss any more,
amen,
brethren.
Amen.
I don't want to miss any more opportunities. I want to catch them as they're running by me. I want to catch them. And I want, even if it's an opportunity, even if it's a fake opportunity, I'm gonna risk it. I'm just gonna take it and, oh, maybe this will prosper. And then, okay, it doesn't, but I'm not gonna stop there because I want the blessing of God. I want to be fruitful. I want to do something great for God.
Amen.
I want to just lose it for Christ. Don't you want to do something great again? Maybe some of you were ambitious, but not anymore. Maybe you're content with what you did, or I don't know. And I wouldn't dare criticize anyone here. especially the ones, wow, that I look up to. But find your ambition. Point it at God again.
Amen.
And let's do something great for God.
Amen.
Again.
Amen.
He could do it.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen.